We invite you to open up your Bibles as we join Pastor Jin Lau for today's message.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm excited that we would look into God's Word. We continue our series. Our series is called Abide. This series is a wonderful and insightful study, an in-depth study of the Gospel of John from chapters 13 to 14. Last week, Pastor Gary was here to talk about John 14 when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What a beautiful promise there, because Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also." And he defined for us what heaven is. Heaven is basically where Jesus is. Where I am, there you may be also. And remember how he defines, if heaven is where Jesus is, what's hell? If heaven is where Jesus is, hell is there where Jesus is not, right? Friends, oftentimes we find ourselves at the verge of hell because we live like without Jesus. And so tonight, this afternoon, I'd like for us to look into and continue our study in John chapter 14. I'd like for you to take a peek at what I do when I study a message. And if there's a certain section of the passage, I would read through every section and just understand, what does this mean? I have questions here and there. And then after all reading the verses, I would try to come up with a big idea. And because in doing so, I would be able to capture, what is this chapter or what is this passage really saying? What's the big idea here? Now, I know it seems late for Valentine's because it's been two Saturdays ago that we've had Valentine's, but I'm sure some of the wives here would prefer to have more Valentine's, right? And doing that to your husband. But the big idea here, really, I can't help but look at love. In John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, that's where we are. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. And I would encourage you to bring your own, because I want you to be underlining, I want you to be taking down notes. If you don't have a Bible with you, we have some Bibles here. I'd like you to really be turning there, because it would be very important for us to look into God's Word, whether it's printed or it's in electronic form. It would be very helpful. Bible from our church Bibles in page 1068. So, I don't mean to be corny or cheesy here, but the fact remains true today. You and I long for love, don't we? Right? Right, Sister Ruth? Yes. because the fact is, and I'd like to say this very carefully, you might have heard me say this, but again, I'd like to reiterate. We are made to love and be loved. Amen? Amen? We are made to love and be loved. I tried to look at some famous people who made that quote. Maybe they made that popular. And I looked at, realized that so many people said those words in different ways. They might have peeked into my computer. People like Dr. Charles Stanley, Mother Teresa, and one of my favorite artists now, music artists, Toby Mac. Anyone knows Toby Mac? Toby Mac happens to be an American rapper. He raps, but you know how old he is? He's 50 years old. And so my wife said, "I still have a chance to be a chicken rap or a gift rap." No, not a rapper. But we are made to love and be loved. Amen, Sister Ermi? We are made to love and be loved. And so I'd like to, if you're there already in the passage, John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, I'd like to divert your attention. I'd like you to look at this photo here and identify this. What is this? Huh? Bookends. Bookends, right? I've seen a lot of this because some of you know that I have worked in the library for many years. And the bookends, obviously, they keep the books together and they keep the book standing. You know, I like that concept because I'd like to have a bookend that keeps us standing and keeps us together. I'd like to have a bookend that will uphold us so that we would stand for Jesus. Because oftentimes we find ourselves weak and unable to stand on our own. We are carried and swayed away by the winds of the world, because there are so many things that pull our attention. You'd like to have this, you've got to have this and that. We are not able to stand on our own, but there needs to be a bookend. And so I'd like my proposal here. There are three points. Again, of course, you know that I would often do that. But the first point here is that love is the bookends. It's the bookends of our lives. Love is what keeps us together. Love is what keeps us standing. Love is the bookends of our lives. And in fact, love is also the bookends of this passage we would be studying from verses 15 to 21. Let me read to you 15 and 21, okay? You know what? Since you are there, why don't you read together aloud with me? 15 and 21. Let's read together aloud. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Verse 21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Lots of love there, right? I'd like to have this picture of love as the bookends of our lives. It keeps us straight. It keeps us standing. But here's the question. Do you love the Lord? Do you follow his commands? Wow, suddenly it's so quiet. I don't mean to take you on a guilt trip here, but it's really simply citing what the Lord Jesus is saying. If you love me, you will keep my commands. I think we have not had enough grasp of what love really is. I think love is so huge. Love is so, it's something that we cannot put our arms around. Because there are evidences that we don't understand God's love enough, such as that we don't obey God's command, that we do not keep God's command. If you love me, it says you will keep my command. Some of you know that I volunteer as a chaplain here in the hospital at Paradise Valley. Last Tuesday, I'd like to introduce you to a woman we will call Doris, so that we would hide her true identity. Doris is advanced in years. She's a Caucasian. When I met her, she said, Chaplain, I love the Lord, and I love his word. And then Doris shared also that she's so good at helping people. When they have problems, she's good at reciting verses, and she's good at helping them. But when it comes to her own problems, she is terrible at that. She cannot help herself. In fact, she said, Pastor, I know that the word says, do not be afraid, right? The word says, fear not, do not be afraid. But she says, I'm afraid. She was so honest to say, I'm afraid right now because her husband passed 6 years ago. And right now, they are in the verge of selling the house because they don't have money anymore. Her little savings is now drained down because of her medical expenses. And she said, I wish God would take me away before the time comes when I don't have money anymore. Because she doesn't know what will happen. She said, I know that I should not be anxious. But I'm anxious. I'm afraid. I think Doris is somebody who is so in touch with her emotions, with her heart, that she is able to just express it. Yes, true, I'm afraid. I think she's better off than people or Christians who come to church and say, everything's okay. I'm good. I have no problems. When in fact, they have. But some people, by the way, they really don't have problems because they are able to cast all their cares upon the Lord. But Doris is, I believe, in a very good place because Doris wants to believe in God. She wants God's word to be so powerful in her life. It's like this man in Mark 6 when the man whose son was having an evil spirit, he said, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. Some of us have that kind of struggle. How many of you have been frustrated to find yourselves, you're not able to keep God's word? I'm one of them. How many of you are able to keep God's word all the time? It's just hard, right? And let's be honest. It's hard. You find yourselves angry. You find yourselves envious. You find yourselves doing some other things, lustful perhaps. You find yourselves gossiping. But this is what God is saying now. How are we able to say, God, I love you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me, Jesus. You're all that what this life is all about. Is that true? Sometimes it's not, right? But it's good for us to sing those songs, falling on our knees, because it declares again what we would like to do in our lives. Yes, God, we want to honor you and worship you. Unless we understand that we cannot keep God's word on our own, we will have a checklist religion. Because a checklist religion says, yes, I'm able to do this, Lord. Today, I give my whatever. I have obeyed you. I've gone to church. I prayed. That's a checklist religion. But what we would like to look at right now is, how is it that God is saying, if you love me, you will. This is a simple future. You will do this. You will inevitably do my command if you love me. Now let's go back to the text. Jesus said in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey my commands. This is plural here. In the NIV, it says what I command, but in the original language, it's plural. What are the two commands so far that we have read in our series Abide? Remember, when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, some of you were not here, but Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples. When he reached out to Peter's feet, what did Peter say again? No way. That's right. Jesus says, Peter says, no way, right? No way, Jose. Why? It's just like when I reach down to get your feet right now. Would you give it? No way. But if you know that there's going to be foot washing this afternoon, what would you do? Huh? Take a shower. You will take a shower, right? Yes. It's like if some of us would be offered a free house cleaning, what would you do? You would clean the house first before the cleaner comes, right? Why? Why do we do that? Why? We're embarrassed. We're ashamed with our dirt. We're ashamed with the things that are not good. When it's stinky, when it's dirty, we're ashamed about that. Now, Peter said, no way, Lord God. But Jesus said, if you will not let me wash you, you will have no part in me. So the first thing there, Jesus did not intentionally or verbally say, this is a command. But Jesus is saying, if you will not let me love you, you will not have part of me. So the first command there, as we can see, is let God be loving you. Let yourselves be loved by God. Let yourselves be loved by God. When God comes to reach out to you, let him love you. It's humbling. It's humbling to give your dirty feet. Right? But give it what you have. You don't have to cover up and say, I'm clean, I'm holy, I'm a church person. No, I'm dirty. I messed up. And so give it to Jesus. Second command is, out of this love, love one another. This is very clear. Jesus said, if you're in John chapter 14, please turn to verse 34 of the previous chapter. Chapter 13, verse 34. Are we there? I'd like us all to read this together aloud, because this is quite an interesting, powerful, powerful command. Let's read together, please. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Very clear. A new command, this one. Now, we know that this one is not a new command, but what's new here is the word as. What's new here? We mentioned this a few Sundays ago. The word as is both comparative and causative. Comparative in a sense that as I have loved you, the way I have loved you, the way I have washed your feet, the way I have served you, you do this to others. But it's also causative. Because I have loved you, now you can love others. Listen, it's only when I have loved you that you can do and love others as well. Because out of your own, you cannot love. Out of your own, you and I are selfish. Out of our own, you and I will love ourselves more. But Jesus is saying, because I have loved you and have filled your love, your life, filled your heart, now you can love. Imagine, it's like when you ask a teenage boy, some of you still have teenagers, but especially boys, What happens when teenage boys are asked, please wash the dishes? they sound like cows, like, But they might comply. Why? Why would they comply? Tell me. They have no choice. Their cell phones would be taken away. No. Why would they comply? Tell me. Come on. Out of fear and out of guilt. You might say, I've been supporting you and this is what you would do to me. Now that's guilt trip, right? Mm-hmm. Now what if this same teenage boy, if he so likes cheesecake and you give him his favorite cheesecake after dinner, and then you say, would you be willing to wash the dishes? Would there be a difference? No way? Yes way, of course. It's the favorite cheesecake. Some of them would say yes. And would there be a difference in the quality of washing? Yes, lesser sound, right? No more clanging of the plates or what? No more broken plates also. See, this is us. When we respond to God out of guilt and fear, that's called religion. But when we are loved by God so much, we say, God, you know what? God, you are so good. God, you are just so faithful. I've not been good, Lord. How come you're so good to me? When your hearts are melted by God's love and faithfulness, I think you would respond in saying, God, I want to serve you. I want to worship you. I want to fall down on my knees no matter what people think about me. God, I just want because I love you. Right? Does that make sense? There's a difference between religion and grace. This one is grace because you don't deserve. Our love is not coming from our own. It's coming from being loved by Jesus Christ. I would like to call this a believing love and a loving belief as well. You believe, that's why you love. You love because you believe it's just going around again and again. The first is you believe, and then you will keep his commands. As we think about bookends, as we saw a while ago, love, I said, is the bookends of our lives. How about asking ourselves, what keeps us up? What keeps you up? What keeps you straight? We sang that song a while ago, Jesus, your all this heart is living for. What do we live for, really? Honestly. What do we live for? What keeps us getting out of the bed in the morning and doing it again and again every day, 5 days, 6 days, maybe a week, and doing it the next week again and the next month? What keeps us up? What are the bookends, basically, of our lives? I think it's good for us to assess that. And I would encourage you to join the growth group this week because we would talk some more about that. And I pray, here's my prayer for each one of you as I look at all of you here, beloved ones. My prayer is that the book ends would be God's love. That it is because God is the one who's empowering you. God is the one who is giving you so much joy and hope so that you would get up every morning. Because without God, my prayer is that we will not see ourselves standing up, but we would crumble without God's love. And it is the same love also that keeps us together as a church. It's the same love that binds us together as a family. I have started seeing this in this congregation. By God's grace, we're not even near perfect. We're so far from being perfect, but some of you are starting to serve. Even though you're so busy, you are serving anyway. You're helping people, even though it's not something that you do every day. You are doing that, and I am blessed by that. I am encouraged by that. Now, as we continue, we say love is the bookends. Since we are on verse 21, I'd like for us to do something. We would go backwards this time, not forward here. So let's read 18 and 19, and then we go back to 16 later. 18 and 19. Let's read together again. Ready? Verse 18 of chapter 14. Let's read together. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. I think we need to read verse 20 as well. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So, here's the second one. First is love is the bookends, right? Here's the second one. Love is to be in. As simple as that. I-N. It has to be in. Love has to be in. There's a lot of in here. Jesus says, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. What does that mean? Love needs to be in. Love needs to be there. Love needs to be with the person. There is to be in attendance. There has to be the presence of the person that you are loving. We know that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. We would be going through that in verses 16 and 17 later. But Jesus is also saying that I am coming back to you. What does that mean? What is he referring to? Where is he going? Remember? He's going to the Father. This, by the way, chapters 13 to 14 is a 24-hour event in the life of Jesus Christ. In 24 hours, what's going to happen to him? Go on. He will be crucified. He's going to the Father. But he says, I'm coming back again. How does that happen? We know what happened, right? What? He resurrected. He came back to them almost immediately. It's like Jesus did not even want to leave them. He wants to be with them. I am coming back to you. Like almost immediately. I remember when Jade was only 4 years, maybe four, 2 to 4 years old. We were still living in the Philippines. I had a trip that day. I was supposed to go somewhere, and my flight was exactly that day. Jade fell from our bed, and he hit his lip on our wooden floor in the apartment. And obviously, the little boy was crying uncontrollably. There was blood everywhere. His blood was covering his face. I did not want to leave because my son was having a problem. But my excellent wife here, she treated the boy and convinced me that everything will be all right. Now, if I would think so sensibly right now, I cannot do anything about it, even if I stayed. But Jesus' concern for his disciples was more than my concern for my son. Did Jay do anything for me to love him? You who have children, you just love your children, don't you? Well, there are people who are a little not normal, that they don't love their kids, but normally, you would love your own, right? You see them, you just love. They haven't even done anything. All they do is cry and give you a dirty diaper. But what do? You love them anyway, right? Jesus loved his disciples. Now, I would ask you, what did his disciples do to him? I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 22. And this is something so relevant for us because we will be partaking of the Lord's Supper. Put a marker on John chapter 14 because we will go back there. Put your seatmate's finger on that page. But let's turn to Luke chapter 22. I like the sound of pages flipping. I think your electronic Bibles can do that also. Luke chapter 22. Follow along with me if you would. Starting with verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Referring to his coming again. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "This, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Verse 21. It's all good now, but in verse 21, what does it say? But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. So who was there with him for the Last Supper? Judas. Remember? Did he wash Judas's feet? Yes. He washed Judas's feet. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. Verse 23, they began to question among themselves which of them might be who would do this. Now, if you were there, you would look at each other and say, is this person the one who would betray Jesus? Or maybe I would ask myself, Lord, would I be the one to betray you? Lord, did I do anything bad? What do you think would be their conversation after that? Let's look at what they did. Verse 24. Why don't you just read it quietly and tell me, what's the conversation about? Are they so concerned about the Lord? Can you imagine what they were talking about? They were talking about, Lord, who's the cutest of us here? No. They were talking about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God. They were not concerned about Jesus, the rabbi, their master, who would be killed soon. They argued among themselves as to who among them would be considered the greatest. And then later on in verse 33, because Simon, he replied to Simon, this is Simon saying, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. This is now Simon, who is so having a foot in mouth disease, right? He says, I'm ready to die for you, Lord. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. So let's look at this quickly. What did the disciples do to Jesus in the hour of his coming death? What did they do? They talk among themselves. First of all, who's the greatest? Then Judas betrayed him, and Peter, the one who's supposed to be the rock, denied him. Let me ask you this. If you're Jesus, would you like to love these people? Would you be so happy to say, oh, you're so good, I love you so much? Would you be so good to love a person who rejects your love? Thankfully, you and I are not Jesus, because our love is so limited, but Jesus' love is so limitless. He continued to love even when they were not lovable. You know what? This should encourage you and me. Why? You and I are not so lovable either. Did you know that? Did you know that we're very much like the disciples? We look at ourselves so much. We think of ourselves more than we ought to. And this is the kind of the people that Jesus was dealing with. But Jesus said, going back to chapter 14 now of John, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father. What's that day? That day, the resurrection day, you will realize. This resurrection is going to change the whole course of history and hopefully change your life as well. Jesus is going to do something so different, because on that day you will realize. And he's saying, on that day you will finally come to your senses saying, wow, what Jesus said is really true. He is who he says he is. He is the great I am. What he said is coming to pass. After all, who has ever come back to life and resurrected again and never died again? Only Jesus Christ. And so this is the great weekend of all weekends, because this is, as I mentioned, the one that separates BC and AD. This is now what will blow their minds. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I'm in you. We are locked in together. I am in the Father. You are in me and I'm in you. We are interlocked. We are together with this. Can you imagine if a person tells you, you know what, I'm so committed to you, I love you, But the person always sticks with his or her friends. Spends more time with his or her friends. That doesn't make sense if a person really loves you, right? Love must be in. Now, as some of you already heard, love is sometimes spelled this way. T-I-M-E. That's how love sometimes is expressed. Because if you truly love a person, you would invest. You would invest your time, you would invest in money. Again, because I love you so much, I'd like you to start investing in what will yield eternal dividends, not just on earthly dividends. How much time do we spend on God? My desire is that you really need to come to the growth group. My desire is that we would spend more time with God so that we would know him more. And the more we know him, the more we understand his love for you. This is saying, I am committed. How much time do we spend time with God? That's why Manong Jun should stop playing video games. In case you don't know, Manong Jun here does not even fiddle with the computers. But, friends, sometimes we spend too much on some things. I think it's time for us, if we really want to know God more and experience his love, let's spend time with him. There's a person at the mother church. I would sit with him. Just sit and worship with him. And through time, he has really liked so much our even just sitting together and worshiping together, so that he would treat me to a very, very nice restaurant. I've never been to that restaurant before, but he said, Pastor Jin, I really like to know you more. Now, that's really just a bromance there. No, it's he really just, as I spend time with him, he understands that there is a friendship going on. This part here, love is being in, Jesus is saying, love. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So, love is, the book ends, love is being there, being in. And then here's the last one. Love is a gift. Love is a gift. How many of you have been to a court law of traffic court, whatever court, tennis court? No, it's a court of law, okay? Court of law, that's what I'm talking about. I pray that you don't have to find yourselves, that you and I won't be in a court of law. But let's just say you were accused of something that you did, whether intentionally or not. You need a lawyer, right? You need a lawyer to represent you because you don't want to be misrepresented. Let me ask you, what kind of a lawyer would you like to have? A lawyer? Really? Really? Wow. Okay. Take note. If he wants a lawyer, find a liar. Okay. A good lawyer. What's a good lawyer? Huh? A good lawyer is a liar. No. What's a good lawyer? Come on. How would you describe good? What kind of a lawyer? Honest. Honest. One who can judge. But the lawyer does not judge. What else? What kind of a lawyer would you like to have? A well-educated lawyer. Yes.
A good lawyer is one who can best fully judge.
Okay. Best fully judge. Okay, as long as it's not a liar, I'm comforted by that. I am a little concerned about those description.
How about the one that can represent the one accused?
Exactly. That's why you need a lawyer to represent you well, right? And to represent you right. And perhaps maybe even find a way to lower the sentence. Or maybe get you acquitted. Yeah. Right? That's what we need. Guilty or not, how we long to be acquitted if we are there in the court of law. Now, I'd like for us to take a look now at verses 16 and 17. And let's look at this gift and why I ask about lawyer here. Verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Now, this is the first of the several promises of Jesus Christ. He would promise the Holy Spirit five times, and they are all in our series, in the Abide series. And I have longed to devote more time on the Holy Spirit because, as Francis Chan would say, the Spirit is the forgotten God. There has been an emphasis on the Father and on the Son, but not so much on the Holy Spirit. But we would like to do that for another time. But let's dig deeper into the text here. I will ask the Father, and he will give you. This is a gift. He will give you what? Another. Before we go into that next word, another means there has been an advocate. There has been a counselor. And who is that? Jesus himself. He has been the first advocate. He's been the first counselor. And he's going to give another one. And what are the synonyms of an advocate? I'd like to, I wish I've written this on the screen, but here are some synonyms of an advocate. Supporter, a backer, a promoter, believer, activist, a sponsor. So an advocate is someone who recommends and supports. My Greek dictionary gives me this descriptions. They are he's an intercessor. He is a consoler, a comforter. Isn't that beautiful? When you need comfort, he's there. When you need help, he's there. So the introduction of Jesus about the Holy Spirit can only be seen in the Gospel of John. Oh, I mentioned to you that John is so unique. It's more than 80% unique compared to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But he calls the Spirit here parakletos. That's the Greek word, parakletos. That means para is alongside, kletos is called. So this is the one who's called alongside. This is the one who would be with you. He will be there journeying with you. He will be your lawyer. And you know what kind of a lawyer he is? He's a par excellence lawyer because he's so educated. He's so knowledgeable. He knows all things. He is God. He can represent you. He knows so much about the law. Best of all, you get him for free. Huh? You won't even cost a dime. You would be hesitant to hire a lawyer today because they are so expensive. $300 per hour. You just speak a word, that's $300. Okay. Another word, $500. Right? But the lawyer, this lawyer, he will offer it for free. Why? Why would he do this? Because he loves. Remember? God is love. He's your comforter. He's your advocate. So, I'd like him to be called our NTF. What does that mean, NTF? NTF is our new true friend. Our new true friend is our BFF. You know what a BFF, right? It's best friend forever. See? Brother Jesse knows. He's so updated. BFF. Now, who's your BFF, Brother Jesse? No, you don't have to answer that. But we all have an NTF right now. We have a new true friend. You know what a true friend really does? A true friend will not let you go astray. A true friend will convict you and say, you know what, I love you so much, what you're doing is not right. He will convict you of the truth. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He will tell you, you know what, what you're eating is not good for your body. What you're spending on is not something that really helps you a lot. That's what a true friend does. A true friend does not turn a blind eye on you. A true friend really sees everything and yet loves you anyway. That's what a true friend is. A true friend does not say, oh, I don't look at mistakes. Oh, he knows your mistakes. But you know what? He is there anyway. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Interestingly, Spirit of truth. Jesus calls him the Spirit of truth. Jesus calls himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the God Father, look at, I believe it's on the screen. Isaiah 65 says, and we will not go deep into this, but so that he who blesses himself in the land shall be blessed by, bless himself by, look at that, the God of truth. The Father is the God of truth. Jesus, the Son, is the God of truth. And the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. They are all about truth. It reminds us of this very, very assuring that Jesus, God, is always faithful and true because they're all about truth. And he will be there with you forever. Isn't that interesting? This is the best gift you can have. Some of us may have a gift that would be good for 1 year, 10 years, but this one is good forever. You don't ever have to pay. He will pay for you instead. He will be with you forever. This promise is so beautiful. But let's look at the next verse. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Why would the world not recognize? Because it does not see. Why would the world not recognize? I'd like for us to take a look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness. Have you ever been mocked for your faith in Christ? Just like how you have heard my son, his classmates said, Jade, you are too smart to be a Christian. Are Christians dumb then? Because they don't have the Spirit of God, it is foolishness to them. For he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. They are not able to understand the things of God. Friends, we do not understand everything. Let's admit it. But the more we try to turn on the light, remember the dimmer switch principle? The more we turn on the light, the more light would be shown upon us. And so we will begin to understand the world. You know how the world decides? They base their things on their natural instincts. And so people do not follow the Spirit. Another reason for them not responding is the presence of religion in their lives. If they have religion, they say, I'm good. I have a church to go to, therefore I'm good. That's not true, my friends. Just because you have a religion doesn't mean that you have faith in God. The dimmer switch. If we turn on brighter, the more we experience God. And the more we experience God, the more we can say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted and seen the goodness of God in your life? You know him, Jesus said. The world does not know him, but you know him because he lives with you and he will be in you. That's beautiful. With you, I am with you till the end, Jesus said. And he will be in you because he will come into you. This is very profound. We cannot understand what does it mean to be in you. Later on in John, in the book of John, Jesus said he would breathe in us the Spirit, and the Spirit would be filling us. And that's what I'd like for us to experience. So, we talked about the three things here, right? Love is what, the first one? Bookend. It's a bookend, and then second one, love has to be in, and then third is it's a gift. I'd like this to be easy for us to remember, because I said this is, love is the big idea. Now, this is really big. Because first, it's a bookend, it's in, and it's a gift from God. I'd like for us to just be able to grasp that very easily. The gift of God is so big. You're right. The gift of God is something that you and I don't deserve. Some of you know that I have been praying to go to Israel, but to go to Israel, it's very expensive. And I learned that if I would go alone, I would pay extra $900 to be alone in the room. And so, might as well pray that June can come, right? to pay $900 for that. And so we prayed that June can come as well. And so we have started raising some funds, and we have made known our support needs to some people. But it's ridiculously expensive. Until such time, two Fridays ago, we still need $4,800 for us to go. $4,800, that's a lot of money. But Pastor Gary came down from the office. I usually work at the library. Some of you who've been there, I'm downstairs, and he comes and says, "Jin, a check came. Why don't you go up and check?" And I ask, "Cindy, I heard there's a check. May I know how much?" And she said, $4,800. I said, "Wow, that's amazing. Only one person gave that. And this person, by the way, is not somebody I am very close to. This person, I would just chat with him every Sunday because he's the one who does the name tags there. And he asked, how can I pray for you? And I said, this is what we need. And he said, let me pray about that and pray for you. And the sad and the impact of this, even I've come to appreciate more, because this person, on that week that he gave the check, he needed to have a cataract surgery. He needed to have a scan in his brain, and he needed to have a scan in his guts because there's something going wrong. Let me ask you: could this person have used $4,800? Very much easily. And yet he gave. I said, God, this is crazy love. I don't deserve this. This person does not know me enough. Jesus has given us all a crazy love. And I don't know how. But the fact that you and I are here today, and we would be partaking of his table, he says, take this, all of you, and eat. Drink this in remembrance of me. This is crazy love. You know why? Because we don't deserve. Just like I don't deserve that. He has given us far more. He has given us life so that we can cross from death to life. God's gift is big. It's bigger. It's bigger than Mr. Big. But it's bigger than what we can even think about. You have heard it said, Paul said that it's more than what you can imagine or think about. And so what I'd like for us to do is, our worship team is going to come. I would like for us to just celebrate this love. I don't know how you have felt God's love lately. Sometimes there are struggles in our lives, and we feel like, God, I wish I can experience 4,800 in my life also. It doesn't happen to everyone, and I did not really expect that. And it's when you don't expect things to happen in your life that God sometimes surprises you, and this surprise blows your mind away. I pray that we would not look at the things that God can give us, but I pray that we would look at God himself, because he is awesome. He's powerful. He's more than what you can ask for. What I'd like for us to do right now is just to worship, and worship him alone and nothing else. So let's do that.